Good morning. Welcome. It's the second hour of the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor program. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us if you enjoyed that first hour. I am grateful that the boss can take a few minutes out of a very busy day here running things at KFUO Radio, Pastor Rod Swanitzer, do the Bible study with us. And don't miss his book talk program. But now, another voice, very familiar for quite a while here at KFUO, is our very good friend, Pastor Warren Worth from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, way down, like you said, about 20 miles from here, down Highway 55 in Arnold, also from the Creation Club. You're still on Fridays, right?
We're still on Fridays, yes. We're now at an earlier time, so those who were used to listening to us at 9 a.m., the earlier time now, I tell people it's 8:35-ish, because, you know, there's news, and there's a religion news wrap-up, and they give the answer to the Bible quiz and some of these things. So it gets to be 8:40, 8:45 sometimes, you know, when we actually get started. But we're still there. We talk about creation, the whole creation versus evolution debate. What does the Bible say? What does science say?
What is science?
And what is not science? what masquerades as science? And really, that's kind of the whole thing that, you know, the whole secular humanistic view is run by this dogma of molecules to man evolution, Darwinian evolution, as if it were fact, as if it were scientific absolute truth, when actually it's more a religious philosophical dogma, not based on real observational science. So we have a lot of fun talking about that, and we would invite our listeners who are interested in that topic to join us every Friday, or almost every Friday, 8:30-ish. So if you tune in at 8:30, you get to hear the religion news, you get to hear all those things, the answer to the Bible quiz, and then soon thereafter we jump on the topic of creation versus evolution and always come back to the fact that, you know, God was there. He's the eyewitness. He tells us what he did, and his word is true, and it all ties together. It's one story. So this is not divorced from the gospel. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the way of salvation. The God who made us is a God who redeemed us and who wants us to spend eternity with him in heaven. So tune in, listen to the Creation Club Friday mornings on KFUO.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Now, here are the basic ground rules, always picking up new listeners here at KFUO. So if you've heard this before, bear with me for just one moment. But pretty much anything goes. If you've seen something in the news, something that maybe your pastor was preaching about yesterday, or one of the readings, or something that has really nagged you since you were a little kid way back when in catechism class, it's a great time. And especially today, if during those creation clubs you go, well, what about this, or what about that, or what about that strange thing they dug up over in China somewhere a couple of years ago? Well, Pastor Worth is with us for the entire hour. Now is your opportunity to get in. And as I say, they dug stuff up someplace. My friend Wade sent me an email. I did not print it off, but had something to do with Good Shepherd and a meeting. What was that all about?
That's right. The Missouri Association for Creation has monthly meetings, and they're going to have their monthly meeting at Good Shepherd in Arnold, August 13th, Monday, August 13th in the evening. And I don't have the ad right in front of me here right now. Now, they start with an early bird DVD, so it's trying to encourage people to come early. And I thought he said that was going to start at 6:30, but I think I saw a written thing where it was going to be 6:15-ish. So I'm urging people to come early. Be there by 6:15 if you want to catch the DVD ahead of time. And I believe that's a DVD from Answers in Genesis, Dr. Lyle, on logical fallacies.
I believe that's it.
You know, evolution and logical fallacies, if I remember correctly. And then whenever the DVD is done, and after people are done discussing that, if they care to, then I will be speaking. And the topic I will address is, can Christians compromise on creation?
They can, but should they?
Ah, okay. Well, you're stealing my thunder there, but that's kind of the idea. And what does compromise entail? And there's definitely that gospel connection. We always want to bring people back to that. So come out and join us. It'll be at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Monday, August 13th. And I believe the advertising is here on KFUO's website, or you can go to our website, the church's website, www.good, that's G-O-O-D, Shepherd, S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D, Arnold, A-R-N-O-L-D, goodshepherdarnold.org, goodshepherdarnold.org. And if you go there, and you'll find the advertising there, or call our church number, which is 636-296-1292, and we would be glad to tell you all about it.
Have you noticed, Pastor, that this world is a verstunken place?
Are you going to define that?
Well, I'm speaking in tongues again. Well, yes, I am.
And the tongue
that my father taught me, which I refrain from except for when I'm driving in traffic. That's a different story completely. Talk about a fallen world. But when I said this world is sort of a stinking place, I tried to find the story this morning. It was a radio broadcast, was out driving around with the family yesterday, had some fun family time, took a little trip down to wine country. I don't know if you get out, down a little bit further down 44, Blumenhof is where we happen to be.
Okay.
And listening to the news as we were coming back, there was the story about how the students at Penn State University, now Penn State hasn't been in the news for any reason recently, but the students at Penn State University are all up in arms about the abuse of children? No. The cover-up of illegal activities? No. Do you know what they're all up in arms about?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A on campus. We shall not stand for such an injustice to take. What is this world coming to when these goofy kids think Chick-fil-A is worse than Jerry Sandusky?
It's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? And let's make sure, in case our listeners don't, I mean, I'm trusting they know about Sandusky. Do they not know about Chick-fil-A and the owner of the company, the CEO, the founder of the company? His name is Mr. Cathy, is it not?
Cathy, that's right. Yeah.
And he's a Christian.
Yep.
And he's, he tries to run his company according to what he believes.
Family business started by his father.
Right. Family business, Christian principles. They're closed on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he tries to treat people respectably and so on. And he happened to make a comment about marriage. And I don't have the quotation right in front of me. Perhaps you do. But basically, he was saying that we're not free to redefine marriage. Marriage is a God-given thing. God made us male and female, and therefore marriage is one man, one woman. But you maybe have the
short version is, we are very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit. It expanded beyond that, but that's the flavor of what he said.
And now he...
Now that's so offensive, isn't it?
And he did not say anything about being hateful, bigoted, being bullying people who are homosexual or something like this. Is just support for a traditional view of marriage and the family. And yet, see, the other side is so tolerant and so open-minded. They believe in academic freedom.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, where does all the intolerance come from? Where does all the hate speech come from? And yet, we dare not call it that. That's the thing that astonishes me. Whether you're talking about the Boy Scouts of America and their reaffirmation of their policy that that they would not have gays serve as scouts or scout leaders, and or in this case where it's even, I would say, even more benign than that, if one should put it that way, that the leader of a company should express his own sincerely held belief that marriage is one man and one woman. It is not anything else, and we're not free to redefine that. And yet, in no way was he speaking hatefully about anybody else. But that is now treated like this, the worst possible crime. And so, yes, you get the students up in arm on a college campus. You get mayors of major cities making threats.
Now, that's the interesting angle here, because ultimately, this is the thought police.
Oh, yeah.
This, if you didn't, if you thought back when you were in high school and you read 1984, you thought, no, never here.
Couldn't happen.
No.
This is the United States. But, what we see, I think the two things that I see going on, yeah. I think the gay agenda is something that's threatening our freedoms in that regard, and also Islam. It's like in modern day America, if you say anything at all, not supportive. It's not just that you can't be critical of those two camps. If you don't say something that wonderfully embraces them and says, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, somehow you're viewed as being hateful. So again, back to Mr. Cathy, he didn't say to hate homosexuals. He said marriage is one thing. It is what God made, and we believe that. We support that. He did not actually go beyond that, as far as I know. And yet he's being treated as a hate monger. And and likewise, if you speak out against Islam, and even would dare to point out that a lot of terrorism is coming out of extreme Islamic countries and people these days, then that's regarded as being somehow narrow-minded and bigoted. And what about Christians?
Yeah, and everything is ideology. It's just a chicken sandwich. Please. It's just, I mean, you know, if you count down all the corporations that have come out in favor of gay unions, whatever you want to call them, where can you go and shop anymore? If it's all about ideology, you can't go into Costco because they just came out in support of it. And a certain major defense contractor with whom I am familiar has had to adopt these, same-sex benefits and all these policies because, well, if you don't, the government won't let you build airplanes anymore. And, all this kind of stuff. I mean, when do we stop with all this ideology, for crying out loud? And it's just a chicken sandwich. You're not making a political statement by buying a chicken sandwich.
Although you have the opportunity to do it if you do support a traditional marriage, there's the boycott and then there's the boycott.
Right.
And the boycott is that many, many conservative Christians are saying this week, go out to Chick-fil-A, and especially I think Wednesday is the day.
August 1st, right.
August 1st, to go out and support Chick-fil-A by buying a chicken sandwich. And there are many who are doing that to say, if other people are against Mr. Cathy for his statement, we're saying not the whole world is against you, and hopefully there will be many.
Well, what's, I think, more important, not just to be a good Christian witness and say we affirm marriage, but again, this is the thought police we're coming up against. These are people who say, if you believe this, we're going to erase you. Have you noticed that murder is a big thing these days? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean murder in the sense like the guy walking into the movie theater, but what happens? Look what they're trying. They're trying to murder Chick-fil-A. They're going to kill them for what they believe. They want to run them out of business. You have mayors saying, we will not permit you in our town. What are they trying to do, essentially? They're trying to kill this corporation. You see what happens? If you don't think right, mister, you better get with the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a sobering thing. And yet, as Christians, we want to speak the truth in love. We be good witnesses.
Now, see, why do we have to do that?
Yeah, we don't want to
Why can't I punch someone in the nose just once? Please. I mean, they do it to us constantly. We're just supposed to sit there and take it for granted?
Well, it's not always easy, is it? But we certainly want to try to do the right thing, and at the same time not back down. And I guess that's the other side of that coin, is do not back down. We are citizens, and in the United States, we do still have the same freedoms. The Bill of Rights does apply to our speech, too, and we need to remind the other side of that when they would have us be silent. And that's the thing. On college campuses and in the liberal media, quite often they're trying to silence the other side. Whether you're talking about the creation versus evolution debate, whether you're talking about
Another place where they're going to kill you in terms of your career. I mean, look at the movie
Ben Stein's film.
That's a chronicle of everybody who. So they may not kill you physically, but they'll kill every other aspect of your
career. They're able to punish you. Yes, they can destroy your career. They can withdraw they can rob you of your livelihood.
Funding, that's right.
They can blackball you and make it hard for you ever to get a job again in your chosen field. So it happens. It happens, and that's so. Again, maybe that brings us to the whole subject of persecution for the faith, because sometimes we have the idea that persecution is something of the past. Back in the New Testament time, the apostles were beaten and they were imprisoned and people were put to death because they believed in Jesus. But that doesn't happen anymore. And unfortunately, it's still going on in many places in the world, even far worse than what we're experiencing here in the United States.
And paid for by your tax dollars in many places.
Scary thing. But there are places where, where Christians are being persecuted and imprisoned and beaten and tortured. And what a wonderful witness often we have from those who, even in spite of that persecution, still confess their faith in Jesus as their Savior, as St. Stephen, for example, to the very end, and praying for those who persecute them and so forth, and testifying to the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for us, who rose again, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And it's because of that, that's what drives us, so that we want to know the truth. We want to speak the truth of God's Word, the Bible, whether you're talking about creation, whether you're talking about traditional marriage and the family, whether you're talking about other religions. It's not about hating Muslims, for example. It's a matter of how can we reach Muslims with the truth of the gospel, because they are not saved. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ that a person can be saved. We're not saying to shoot them or to blow them up, to, you know, wage some kind of military holy war. What we're saying is let's be loving and let's find ways to bring the gospel to these people. You know, the government's got to do what the government's got to do. That's a separate thing, understanding the two kingdoms there. But as Christians, the church's responsibility is to preach the truth in love, and that truth is all about Jesus, and to bring people to faith in Christ. And there's an event coming up soon here on campus, here at Concordia Seminary. They have a Summer Lay Institute. I think it's in August. August 18th, is that the right date for that? And I believe there's is it Professor Loom?
John Loam, yes, Witnessing to Muslims. John has been on the program. Pastor's been on several times, Pastor Loam. And they do this regularly as part of this Lay Bible Institute. He actually even has a group that meets here on campus regularly. John Loam, you can get in contact with him, I guess, through the switchboard here at the seminary. 505-7000, I believe that's correct. And he will gladly take. Matter of fact, I connected him with a good friend of mine, Dr. Tim Furnish, down in Atlanta, who's an Islamic scholar, and he's been on the Studio A program several times as these things come up, and he's looking to extend what Dr. Loam does down in Atlanta, where he lives.
Wow, that's good. So people can learn about the do's and don'ts of outreach to Muslims, and people, you know, you might know some Muslim people where you live. You know, years ago, you probably would not have known people that are Islamic, but through immigration, a lot of people have moved, especially big cities. So whether you're talking about Detroit or St. Louis, you know, you may have friends, coworkers, neighbors, and this would be an opportunity to reach out to them and to say, you know, you're looking not to have hostility with these people, but to build bridges in terms of friendship and so forth. And with the hope, of course, that you'll be able to bear witness to the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's certainly what we want to do.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's grab a quick phone call, and then I've got an email for you, Pastor, that's come in from Eric, okay?
Okay.
Jim, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, Roland. Good hearing you, gentlemen. Good morning, Pastor.
Hi.
And I want to first of all say I thank God for your show and your program and the topics you discuss. From 10 o'clock till 12 especially. Talking about Mr. Caffey and Chick-fil-A, I'm right there with you. I'm in support of him and his company very much so, and it's just a shame that we hear so much from the negative side, so to speak, now with the students at Penn State and so forth, and what a couple of mayors are trying to do. But I have a concern about the church, and namely the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, where I have been born and raised and attend, and maybe I'm wrong, but we seem to hear so little about being prepared for what is to come and what is coming in our own country. And I feel sometimes like we're as much asleep as our German ancestors were during the Hitler regime, and I just feel we could and should be doing more, but number one, speaking out in love, in Christian love, not in fear and angst, but if we don't talk about it, how especially are our young people or people that are just not informed, that maybe don't listen to programs like UnCAFEO and read other items of concern, and especially for the Christians, and are not knowledgeable of what's going on in the Mideast to our fellow Christian brothers and sisters there. It's and I go to, you know, I'm a member of one church, and I go attend other churches at different times because of, for other reasons, to hear someone and so forth. So I guess I'm making my judgment on maybe three or four Lutheran churches in our area. But I just don't hear anything that warns us, but yet I hear another Christian speaker who I very much admire and respect. He's well-traveled and well-educated and experienced, who says we need to be preparing, especially our young people, for suffering. And not meant in a negative way, but meant in the positive. Let's be prepared. Let's
that's so antithetical to, you know, I'm a kid who you know, is the son of immigrants, and you know, have had pretty much a very comfortable existence, never experienced anything my parents experienced during World War II in Europe, or even some of the hardship they experienced, you know, before I came along. And there is this thing in the United States that we teach our children that it is always getting better and better and better. We'll always be more prosperous. Everything is a temporary setback. And that's not the case. I'm sure there were some Romans or some Greeks that told their kids the same things.
Yeah.
So while you're still on the line, perhaps, what do you have suggestions, since I'm a parish pastor, on the best way to go about that?
Well, you know, it should be based on the Word of God.
Right.
And I think we just need to be talking about it some, preaching and teaching on it some. There ought to be some Bible studies available and encouraged to attend, and part of our prayer, I think. And again, I'm basing my concern from a few Lutheran churches and my own Lutheran church, and I'm setting up a meeting with one of our pastors to talk about it. That I just have a concern that we're sometimes feeding milk when we need to be feeding meat.
The thing, Pastor Wirth, I don't have the text in front of me. You have to remind me if it's Ezekiel 32 or 33, where it talks about the watchmen.
Yeah. Watchmen's on the wall.
On the wall.
Right, right.
And I think, Jim, that's what you're getting
absolutely
at.
Absolutely.
Have we failed in being the watchman on the wall?
Yeah.
And I guess in that regard, I mean, I think you're making some good points. I think at the same time, especially remembering that the duty of the church is to preach the word, and so I'm glad you pointed back to that, and being watchmen to warn people of the spiritual danger, you know, even more so, and certainly before the political danger, lest we lose sight, because sometimes I think the temptation might be to say, let's take back America for Jesus, and in so doing, maybe not even really be talking about repentance and faith so much as political things, and we have to always watch that. That's a thing we have to be on guard. So, but I appreciate your concern, because as Christians, we are citizens of two kingdoms, are we not?
Yeah.
You know, we're citizens of heaven, and yet at the same time, we live in this world. We are citizens of this world too, and we want to be good and faithful in our citizenship, which means we should be well informed on issues and candidates, and we should participate in the political process. Even some people perhaps can even run for office. That's not my cup of tea, but it certainly might be where other people have those gifts and abilities to do that and to do it well. And so that certainly comes into play here. And as you're saying, when it comes to preparing our people for persecution, to teach what the scriptures say, because the God's people have been persecuted throughout the ages, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and since. And I believe on the previous program with a Bible study, you were talking
Pastors
about that too.
Yeah, we were.
You were talking about how even in the days of the Reformation and since that time, you know, that the church, sometimes we romanticize a golden age in the past somehow and realize that in this world you will have persecution, but be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world, and that is where our hope is, ultimately to help people be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power, strong in the Word. And should days of persecution come, should we find that our earthly government more and more takes away from us the freedoms that we've taken for granted, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of worship, freedom of conscience, that still we stand strong. And it's one thing, you know, to say we will obey the government in all things in which God has placed them over us, and at the same time say we must obey God rather than men if the government commands us to do what God forbids or forbids us to do what God commands. So maybe we'll have more to talk about that after the break.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Thank you for your call.
God's blessing.
Thank
God bless you,
too. Good to hear from you. You know, and the amazing thing is, you know, the Scripture does speak to this.
Oh, yeah.
We mentioned Ezekiel, but then you've also got the two instances from Luke about the Tower of Siloam and the Galileans whose blood was mixed with their sacrifices. And I think what we frequently miss there, you know, why do bad things happen to good people?
Well, Jesus has something to say about repentance, doesn't
he? Yeah, it's not about figure this out, understand this. It's about, before you have time, repent. That's why these things happen. It's all about repentance. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO. We got emails when we get back. We'll be right back. Hang around.
The KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839 is our chance to hear back from you.
I was just calling to let you know that how much I enjoy the music between 12 and 1.
You listen to us, and we want to hear back from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839.
I can always hear something nice on KFUO. And I know you are true to the Bible.
Call the KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839. Your comments, questions, and opinions are important to us.
I just want to tell you guys, I listen every night. Keep up the good work.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs and be part of them on the air, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand programs or podcasts. The KFUO comment line, 314-505-7839. KFUO Radio salutes our day sponsors on this Monday, July 30th. Today's day sponsors are John and Karen Shimkus of Collinsville, Illinois. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO Radio in honor and celebration of John and Karen's 25th wedding anniversary, which was on July 25th. Once again, we say thank you to John and Karen Shimkus of Collinsville, Illinois.
Start your day off right with the morning show Monday through Friday on KFUO Radio. Hi, I'm Randy Asbury. Join me as we start the day right with daily prayer, news and views from around the church, feeding the faith, and much more. The morning show, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your Lutheran radio station, AM 850 KFUO or KFUO.org.
The head of a Christian mission group says a pastor abducted a week ago in southern India has been released by kidnappers who had sought a large ransom. Gospel for Asia founder K.P. Yonan says the pastor was abducted last Monday. Gospel for Asia sent emails to supporters and asked them to pray for the official's return.
It's a huge miracle that they basically let him go, blindfolded, his hands tied to the back.
Yonan says his missionaries usually aren't abducted because of their reputation.
In the past, we had a few times some of our missionaries were, you know, taken away, but they immediately let them go. When they find out, we are actually there to help the people.
GFA also has a policy of not negotiating with kidnappers, and missionaries are given that warning.
We tell them this is a one-way ticket. Live and serve Christ, and if need be, give your life, based on Gospel of Matthew chapter 10.
Yonan says Pastor Ponachan George wants to remain in service. I'm Norman Hall.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The picture was horrible to see. A young Chinese woman was lying on a hospital bed. Next to her was the 7-month unborn baby who'd been viciously aborted against the mother's wishes. This moving image circumvented the globe and further exposed China's brutal forced abortion one-child policy. But the baby didn't die in vain. The European Parliament has since adopted a strong resolution condemning China's forced abortions and sterilizations. Since the EU still provides funding for family planning efforts in China, they've urged the Commission to investigate and ensure these funds don't support forced abortion. But the only way to do that is pull all funding. Further, the Chinese government paid the couple $11,000 to settle a lawsuit. Please pray all Chinese women are protected.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Good morning. Welcome back to Ask the Pastor. It's the second hour of the Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. And much like Jim, if you'd like to get in and join the conversation, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We need to stop talking during the breaks because we just exhaust ourselves solving all the problems of the world. And here's one of those examples. We brought up an email that was sent in by Eric. Eric is very good at sending lots of emails into us from his iPhone, listens, I guess he streams. I'm not sure what part of the country he's in, but he streams the program. And we appreciate you listening, Eric. Here's the question that he sends in to you, Pastor. Are you ready?
I am ready.
What kind of simple advice would you give a layman with regards to the elitist atheist groups that seek to prove how stupid and naive Christians are?
Ah, yes, I think that's a growing trend. I think we've seen more militancy among atheists in recent years, and certainly the famous ones, you know, Richard Dawkins and...
So yes, but he now knows the truth, doesn't he? Now that he has assumed room temperature? No, that was Hitchens. I'm sorry, not Dawkins. Hitchens.
Okay.
Christopher Hitchens.
Okay. But yeah, the books they write, and certainly they get a lot of press when they do that. And then whenever there's a new scientific discovery that makes the Bible seem all the more naive and unnecessary. We don't need God. The more we learn about the universe and how things work and where we came from, well, that explains it, so we don't need God. We now know that it's all about superstition. It's all about being naive and stupid, just like our writer says here. But I guess a couple of factors. One of the things we picked up on is obviously we don't care about what people think about us. I know people are going to think we're foolish. Didn't we hear that in the previous hour when you're in 1 Corinthians and the Apostle Paul says, you know, the cross is foolishness.
It is.
You know, to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is a power of God. And we thank God for the truth of the gospel. Christ crucified and raised for us and for our salvation. He is our righteousness, our peace. He is our Savior. And we believe and will continue to believe, teach and confess the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what other people say or think about us. But I think perhaps what's in your question is really, how can we respond? If we think of the Apostle Peter saying that, you know, we should be ready to give an answer to those who ask a reason for the hope that we have. Part of that is living as people who have a hope, and so that by our living and by our conversation, people will see that we do have something that maybe they desire, a hope, a peace that we have, not because there's anything in us, but because of what has come from the outside to us, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the peace that passes understanding, because we have a God who loves us and who's given his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins, who died, rose again, that we might have the free gift of everlasting life. So back to your question, what simple advice can we give when we're dealing with these elitist groups that try to prove how stupid and naive Christians are? Well, on the one hand, it's just looking for those opportunities to speak the truth in love. We said that before, to invite people to hear the rest of the story. So after they have run out of breath, after they've been talking till they're purple in the face about how stupid we are, that we can calmly say, well, have you heard the rest of the story? Would you be willing to consider some things in your open-mindedness? If you're so smart and so wise and so understanding of these things, are you open-minded enough to consider that you could be wrong, that there's another side to the story? So whether you're talking about the creation-evolution debate, you know, something that has been a topic that I've been interested in for years, you know, sometimes people have never even taken the time to really consider the other side. So it's one thing, you know, we can be guilty of this too. If we make the enemy into a straw man, easy to knock down, because we don't take the time to really understand their point of view. So when we're arguing against our opponents, we want to be sure that we understand their point of view well enough that we can say back to them what we understand them to believe based on their own speech or writings. And that they would actually be able to recognize what we said as, yeah, that's my position. So then we can actually have a conversation where we say, okay, well, now, here, let me answer your position as I understand it. And I want you to listen carefully enough that when I'm done, you can say back to me what I said, not a caricature of what I said, but what I actually said to show me that you understand my argument. You don't have to agree with me. At the end of the day, we may still disagree, but at least listen to what I have to say and consider my argument. And sometimes it's not just what I have to say. Maybe I can make use of somebody else's material, somebody who's smarter than I am, somebody who's more articulate than I am. And to tell you the truth, there's a lot of good stuff out there, you know, in terms of Christian apologetics. Whether you're talking about where did the Bible come from and why should we listen to the Bible, or the whole creation versus evolution debate. And again, for our listeners, if you're a first-time listener, answersingenesis.org and the Creation Museum.
Excellent resource. Yeah.
Wonderful resources there by people who are real scientists and at the same time real Christians. So, you know, they will help you if you're ever involved in that kind of debate. And there are other resources as well. The whole debate on did Jesus really rise from the dead? You know, that's a Christian apologetic thing that we would all do well to be familiar with, familiar enough You don't have to be a professor of theology at a seminary to be able to say simply to people what you believe and why you believe it on the basis of the Bible. And here's the thing I would always say, whether you're a seminary student or a pastor or a college student or just a layperson in your day-to-day life, you don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to be the most articulate person or the best debater when you come up with somebody who opposes you and is challenging your Christian faith. Because you can always come back with this: I don't know the answer, but if you'll come with me, we'll find the answer, okay? And whether it's, you know, being able to talk to your pastor, if hopefully you're on a good relationship with your pastor and your pastor is knowledgeable and orthodox so that he will help lead you into what the Bible says about something. And also these other resources. For example, you could go to a meeting of the Missouri Association for Creation and hear what a speaker has to say there, or watch the DVD from somebody who's very knowledgeable, all one of these things. For example, if you've got an atheist friend you're talking to and he's making you feel like you're just totally stupid, and you say, would you be willing to come with me on Monday, August 13th to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and watch a DVD on logical fallacies among evolutionists? Can you believe that there even could be such a thing as logical fallacies among evolutionists? Why don't you come and listen with this with me, see what the guy has to say, and see if there's anything you could learn? And if we're totally wrong on this, then maybe you can enlighten us. And that would be a challenge. Or to hear somebody like Dr. David Menton explain the wonders of human anatomy, whether it's the eye or your ear or your bones or your nervous system. And then, you know, listen to this man who's very, very knowledgeable. Hear what he has to say, and then let's see if that changes your mind. Or if you still think we're wrong, help us to see where we're wrong. And you know, to enter into a friendly dialogue with them rather than, because it's easy for us to become so defensive that we go on the attack instead of saying, well, let's talk about this. Let's think about this.
A couple of thoughts come to mind as I listen to you, Pastor Wirth, and that is that, number one, I think it's a Western modern era thing where we're so worried about how people feel about us. If somebody thinks I'm stupid, okay, fine. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. But that's an attack on me personally. That's an ad hominem attack, and that's always the lowest form of discourse.
Right.
That and making you a satirical, you know, sort of caricature of who you really are.
Right.
And those are people that generally can't defend themselves to start with. So when if they want to talk to me about Jesus rose from the dead, you believe in zombies, do you? So I mean, for me, maybe it comes from being someone who was the fat kid. You know, during grade school, you just learn that you can't function based on what everybody else thinks about you. And I know that sounds really weird from a guy who's in the media.
Well,
I'm not worried about. But you know,
you have to have a thick skin. In other words, not take it personally.
Yeah. But you know, but if I mean, like here, if I'm faithful to study the text and come up with questions that I think the listeners ask and want to know about the text and do the application side of it and leave the rest up to the pastors, what have I got to worry about?
And ultimately, the Holy Spirit, because when it comes to bringing people to faith,
that's his job. Exactly, that's the point.
I cannot argue myself into faith, let alone anybody else into faith. But taking the question again at face value, he's looking for advice, simple advice on how they deal with elitist atheist groups that seek to prove how stupid Christians are. Well, again, it's a matter of, I want to live my life in a way that people can see the hope that we have. And I think it's good for Christians to become familiar with Christian apologetics in the best sense of the word.
That's true.
At the same time, not thinking that it's all an intellectual exercise where I can prove to you
exactly
that you have to believe in Jesus Christ.
And there's the question. Do we have to respond to every charge leveled against us?
No.
See, and that's the thing. I think we get so obsessed with answering all these accusations. Don't worry about it.
No, we don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to answer. Okay, so the neo atheists think you're stupid. All right, fine. They ain't that bright themselves.
But if you
look at what they say,
well, the Bible, God says that, you know, the man who says there is no God is a fool.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think if our listeners are saying, you know, what I have a Christian friend, or I'm in a class and I'm dealing with, you know, my professor's constantly making fun of Christians. Is there something I can say or do? How can I respond there?
And Well, ask him when he stopped beating his wife.
There you go.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it is. It is. It is that people paint you in a corner with a false question or
exactly.
false dichotomy kind
go.
Of thing. Yeah. But hopefully our listeners will find that there are
but
good
intimidation.
Resources.
See, when they call you stupid, Pat, this goes back to where we started with Chick-fil-A and the response to the pro-marriage, the biblical view of marriage stand that Kathy took, the owner of the Chick-fil-A corporation. It is that personal attack again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing. This is no different. So what do? You do the right thing. You keep doing what you've always been doing. You preach, you teach, you administer the sacraments rightly. You don't let them cow you into doing anything different. Because, I mean, what is, you know, a mighty fortress?
Is our God.
Is our God. And what does Luther go on to say there about who fights on our behalf? What do I got to worry about?
Jesus Christ. He's the champion. You know, he's won the battle already.
The powers and principalities of this world, the gates of hell, what have I got to worry about?
They cannot prevail against our Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that comforting to know?
Yeah.
It is. It really is. And whether you're the student on the college campus feeling that everybody's ganging up on you, or the person at work that's the, oh, here comes Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. Yeah, the Bible preacher man. People sometimes are ridiculed. But, you know, we're strong in the Lord and speak the truth in love and try to live our lives in a way that is winsome. And if somebody seriously wants to discuss things with us, it's not just taking cheap shots, but they, you know, they really have a question.
Absolutely.
Then you want to be able to sit down and talk with them.
Absolutely.
And you know, if you can say, can we sit down and have a beer or a cup of coffee or a cup of cocoa or, you know, Coca-Cola or whatever. So let's sit down and let's talk about this in a friendly way. I'll listen to you. And I would ask that you respectfully listen to me. We may not agree at the end of the day, but let's at least be respectful in talking to one another. And I'll sincerely give you the best. I'll listen to you. I'll let you make your best argument, and I'll repeat it back to you with active listening so that you'll realize, okay, I was listening. I think I got it. If I didn't get it, you can correct me and say, okay, no, you misunderstood me, or perhaps I misspoke. And likewise, when we as Christians speak, that we would anticipate that the other person will actively listen and respond back and be able to say what we said to them. And if they get it wrong, you can say, okay, well, maybe I misspoke, or maybe you didn't hear me quite right. I'll back up and try it again. And then that's how communication happens, whether you're talking about husbands and wives or Christian versus atheist or Republican versus Democrat or whatever, to be able to respectfully listen to each other and speak back to each other what the other person said.
But the wheels have come off the wagon at one point because by my simple reckoning of the ground and the way things lay today, the reason that this whole homosexual agenda is even an issue is because at some point in time, a bunch of well-meaning Christians who didn't like being called stupid and backward and homophobic said, well, you know, maybe God really didn't say.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because we want to get along with everybody, we'll start to change, and then we won't be so dumb, and we'll be... You know, that's the problem, is when you don't stand firm on the Word of God,
you
become more worried about being called stupid or homophobic or all these other names, these flaming darts they fire at you, you know, and you go, well, okay, maybe we will change a little bit.
You're back away
from dialogue. You speak, and you speak the truth in love, but you don't change.
We're not going to knuckle under to pressure and compromise.
Do you want to be liked or do you want to be saved? That's the question.
Correct. And we want to speak the truth of God's word. God's going to be right. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we might surrender, but God has won the victory already, and we dare not surrender the truth of his word in any of these parts. You know, what God says remains true, even if it seems foolish to the world. And perhaps the further our country gets away from people being biblically literate,
there you go,
and let alone Bible believing, that our view will seem less and less mainstream.
Yeah.
It will seem more and more weird, foreign, even stupid, naive, and we say, well, okay, well, so be it. You know, God is right, and we'll say what God says, even if the world rejects it. But be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world. And that's kind of the key thing, is it?
Yeah, it is. We'll go to the phones here in just a second. But, you know, I was saying to you during the break, see, the thing is, the less you know, the more you feel. That's the problem. See, that you talk about getting away from being knowledgeable in what Scripture actually says. And not just what it says. Here's the catch. Can we let him in on a secret here? What it means.
Aha.
Lots of people know what it says. Very few have any clue as to what it actually means, which is why we do the Bible study.
Exactly, and let Scripture speak for itself so that we don't say that the Bible means something completely different than it really does, because to me it
That's
means,
right. What does it mean to
because
me?
Because then we have the total pool of ignorance where everybody disregards what the Bible says and biblical correct tools of biblical interpretation, letting Scripture
right.
interpret Scripture,
right.
where it's just how I feel or what I think.
It's like watching the Olympics. You know, you just lost the gold medal. How do you feel about that? I think I can figure that one out. I don't need him to go, I feel really bad. I'm so disappointed. Got it. Yeah, I'll probably figure that one out myself. Let's go to the phones real quick because Hope has been waiting patiently. Hope, good morning. Thanks for your patience. You're on the program.
Yeah, I'd like to substantiate something that the pastor said. First of all, we're still going to get to go down to see answers in Genesis down there. But we saw this Dr. Melton talk two times up here in the metro area, and it's just amazing that movie that he has on the eye. When you have eye problems and you know much of the things that are going on after having several different types of operations, you sit there in wonderment and think on that the Almighty. There's nobody like him. There is no one, and he's the only one that can claim to be Almighty. I just wonder how he ever took the time and how he created Adam first. I think about that so often now. Because when you get this old, you start thinking about all these different things. And, I mean, it's just marvelous. That's all I got to say.
Thank you for your call. And, yes, I think you make a good point that when we lose our sight or have health problems of any kind, we appreciate a working body, a healthy body all the more, and give praise to the one who created us, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, who created the eye, who created the ear, who made every part of our body to work in such a wonderful way, is our creator. He's our redeemer. He's the one that he heals us as well. And we thank God for doctors, especially when you have doctors and medical personnel. Dr. Menton was actually one who taught doctors at Washington University School of Medicine. And we just praise God for those who do give glory to the one who is our creator and who is the one who is the great physician and who heals body and soul. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your call. I appreciate your comments. May God grant you health and healing for your eyesight as well. And may we always point to our God who created us and give the glory to him.
Here's another email for you from Jan. In light of John 18:36 and 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, do Christians have dual citizenship, or are we citizens of Christ's kingdom and ambassadors to the world, whatever country Yahweh has placed us?
Okay, interesting point. Why don't we read those aloud for the benefit of our listeners? Okay, John chapter 18, verse 36, it reads as follows. This is when Jesus is on trial before Pontius Pilate, okay? And he's asked if he's a king and so forth, and Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And Pilate goes on to say in the next verse, "You are a king then." And Jesus answers, "You are right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Of course, then Pilate scoffs, "What is truth?" But the point is, Jesus is saying he is truly a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. That's an important point to make on the one hand. And then you were mentioning also...
I've got that extra text in front of me here. I'll save you the trip.
Please.
"Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciled to the world himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
Very good. And so we're glad to have that, all that gospel out there for our listeners to hear. This wonderful stuff, to know the reconciliation we have in Christ, who bore our sins for us on the tree, so that through the forgiveness of sins, we might receive God's verdict of righteousness, by saved by his grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, who died for us, who rose again, that we might have that free gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now, back to your matter of citizenship. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Certainly, we heard that a couple of weeks ago in our epistle lesson, Paul writing to the Ephesians, saying that once you were aliens, but now you are fellow citizens with the saints, heirs of God's heavenly kingdom, members of God's family. So, you know, we who were aliens are now fellow citizens with the saints, part of God's kingdom, part of God's family by grace through faith in Jesus. But the other thing you're saying, are we ambassadors? Yes, we are ambassadors to the world, but I don't think that means we're not citizens of a particular country either. Think of the Apostle Paul, who used his Roman citizenship. You know, when he was being put on trial, you know, his Roman citizenship entailed certain privileges, and that included that he had a right to a trial, and that when people were going to try to have a kangaroo court, he says, "I'm a Roman. You can't do this," and he used that. So I don't think that we need to deny that we have an earthly citizenship too. If we are in a particular earthly country, and you and I are citizens of the United States of America, and thank God for that, and we thank God for our Constitution and for the freedom we have in this country. And like Paul, if people try to abuse our rights, we can speak to that. It's not just, I'm a Christian, you can't do that. It's, I'm a United States citizen, and I have certain rights under the Constitution of this land, and you cannot silence me. You know, I have just as much right as that liberal college professor to speak my mind on any number of issues, whether it's gay marriage, whether it is abortion versus the right to life, whether it's creation versus evolution. We do have rights as citizens in this country. And so in that regard, yes, at the same time that I'm a citizen of heaven, a child of God, an ambassador for Christ, bringing the good news of reconciliation and peace, the forgiveness of sins in Christ to people, whether they want to hear it or not, I'm also a citizen of the United States of America, and in that regard, just as Paul used his Roman citizenship so that he was going to get a fair hearing, and they couldn't just beat him up without a fair trial, in the same way, we can say, you can't just abuse me, I have the right, and if we need to, we can go to court. And so that, boy, we're at the end of our time, but you know, that whole issue of can Christians ever go to court? Well, in some senses, we can. If people try to take away our rights, you know, Christians sometimes will sue so that their rights are still upheld. And whether that's your right as a student in school to do something, or as a professor at a school to do something, or as a Christian in our society to be able to have your voice heard and not to be silenced by people who just want to bully you.
You're so good at this because it's right back to 1 Corinthians again. Earlier on, Paul talks about suing each other and the whole idea about not it's when your brother's in the congregation, your first course of action isn't to go to file a lawsuit against each other. But he doesn't say that we don't have the right to take advantage of the legal system when we're wronged. But when you're in the church, there's one process. When you're outside, there's another.
Correct. And again, it's all about love. It's all about Christ. It's all about repentance. As a repentant sinner, I know the most important thing for me is to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that no matter what the world does to me, they can't take that away from me. We're in the world, we're not of the world, and Christ has overcome the world, so we have peace. We have peace in Christ, and that's what we want to leave our listeners with.
Just very quickly, Good Shepherd in Arnold is going to be the host for
the Missouri Association for Creation, which will meet there Monday, August 13th in the evening. You can call the church at 636-296-1292 to find out more, or you can go to the Missouri Association for Creation website or the Good Shepherd's website, goodshepherdarnold.org.
Where Pastor Warren Wirth will also be making a presentation on
Can Christians Compromise on Creation?
And I won't give it away this time.
Okay.
We'll just leave it sit there. This Pastor Wirth. Also catch him, the Creation Club, Friday mornings.
8:30-ish.
8:30-ish. Tune in at 8:30. There's lots of good stuff.
Yes.
Nothing will harm you, I promise.
Good
while
stuff
you wait
to hear.
For the Creation Club to come on. Thank you, my friend. Hey, safe travels. Godspeed your trip back to Arnold.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. See you Friday, if not sooner.
Great.
Thanks, guys. We're back tomorrow with more of 1 Corinthians. More Ask the Pastor. Who knows what will happen between now and then. Stay safe.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The recent shooting in a Colorado movie theater left many with unanswered questions. Where was God? Why didn't he put a stop to this? On the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, a conversation about finding God in the midst of suffering. You may discover he's closer than you think. That's next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day Sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day Sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at kfuo.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. The Colorado movie theater shooting suspect has been formally charged in the bloodbath that left 12 people dead and 58 wounded.
24 counts of murder in the first degree, 116 counts of criminal attempt to commit murder in the first degree.
This is the court spokesman announcing the charges. You'll notice he said 24 counts of murder, 116 counts of attempted murder. Twice the number of people killed and wounded during the rampage. Legal analyst Michael Steinberg, a Colorado attorney, explains why the prosecutor is charging Holmes like this.
To cover her bases, she's charging it both ways, so that the jury will have the option of convicting on one or the other counts.
Our Peter Banda was in the courtroom and gives us an idea of how James Holmes looked this time when he appeared in court.
The suspect looked like, he had been wearing some sort of hat, kind of like what a monk would wear. So his hair was flattened. It's still orange and red, but not as poofy and curly as it looked like the first time we saw him in court.
Legal analysts expect this court case to be dominated by arguments over James Holmes' sanity. Mitt Romney's campaign says his comments in Jerusalem today were grossly mischaracterized. Palestinians are outraged that Romney told Jewish donors their culture is part of what has allowed them to become more economically successful than the Palestinians. A Palestinian official calls that racist. A Romney spokeswoman says he's made similar observations about other countries that have wide disparities in income. Syria's top diplomat in London says he can no longer represent the regime, and he has defected. Meanwhile, civilians are fleeing the city of Aleppo after 10 days of fierce battles between rebels and government forces. This is AP Radio News.